Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Well, tonight we have come to the conclusion of a season of commencement services, and every one of us who know a little bit about commencement, we know that it is the beginning, it's not the ending, it's something that marks really the beginning. And I like what it says in Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued. Would you say those three words with me tonight? And they continued. And we recognize when we study the book of Acts chapter 2, it's the commencement of the church. This is the beginning of the church at Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came down, and 3,000 souls were saved and baptized, and then they continued. And certainly that's the will of God for our lives tonight. You see, graduation is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the commencement. And how silly would it be if we said to the kindergartners, all right, guys, you've learned your alphabet. You can say the books of the Bible. Great job. That's it. No more school. There's the car keys. Have fun. How many of you would say, Pastor, that'd be a little bit ridiculous to say that to kindergartners? It's their commencement. They're just beginning. They're the class of, what did you say? 2024, Pastor. I mean, come on, they've got a ways to go. But it would be a little bit ridiculous to say, good job, see you later. Or to say that to the 12th grade class, maybe to say, well, 12th graders, all right, you've finished the course and no more studies, no more hard work, just go out and eat lots of candy and candy corn and popcorn and play lots of Nintendo and Game Boy or Game Box, whatever they call that stuff today, and just get out there and have fun because you have finished. And everyone would say, no, Pastor, it's that they haven't finished. It was their commencement exercises. They finished a portion of studies, but they're going to go on now. It's a time of beginning. I mean, what about the college graduates? I mean, that's big time. We had 178 students up here a few days ago graduate from West Coast Baptist College. And would we go to them and say, hey, great job. You've been going soul winning. You've served God. You learned your doctrine. You have just been stellar students here. And now that you've done that, look, let your hair grow out. Just enjoy yourself, you know. Spend a few years at the beach. Travel around the world and backpack and just kind of see cultures and, you know, just lighten up. You have finished and you don't need to do anything else. No. You say, Pastor, no. They didn't finish. It was their commencement exercise. Their ministry has just begun. Well, what about us tonight? I mean, come on now. Some of you have been member here 12 years. You've been a member here 20 years. Some of us have been going to church for a while. We've been tithing a while, and now maybe you're coming to a point where you have finished, and you say, "Man, I feel like it's time for me now just to, you know, eat candy corn and Snicker bars and play some what's it called? Xbox? Is that what it's called? What's it called, Brother Schmidt? Xbox? Scooby-Doo, right? And watch some Scooby-Doo." Maybe it's just time just to kind of, you know, kick back. But how many of you would agree that no matter what age we are, the will of God for all of us is, and they continued. Say it with me. And they continued. The will of God is that we would continue on. Now, I just found out this week, and this was interesting to me, the song Pomp that we call Pomp and Circumstance. Brother Hopkins, wherever he is, he played that numerous times these last several days, and he did a wonderful job, Pomp and Circumstance. And then everybody says at the graduation, every graduation exercise, they say, all right, now stand in the back and let the person get out about 10, 15 yards ahead of you, and then walk slowly. And Brother Getch, if you ever want to come to college graduation practice, I mean, he is very serious about that, you know. And so all the faculty sits over here, and he tells us what to do. And I sit right here in my place, and whatever Brother Getch says, that is exactly what I do. And I mean, he says, now, walk slowly. And he'll say, Pastor, you're going to be across from each other, and watch me, and walk slowly. Yes, sir, Brother Getch, I always say that. And so the guy in front of me, sometimes Brother Sisk, I'll give it 10 or 15. I'll look over at Brother Getch, and Brother Getch goes, that means I can go. And I just stay right with Brother Getch. My goal is to hit that first step with this foot right when Brother Getch does. But a lot of people don't take it that seriously. And a lot of the kids get so excited, they just almost start running down there. They're just ready to go. And normally, it's the pianist that kind of helps you to stay on. How's that song go? Never mind, Brother First. So, and playing Pomp and Circumstance. And we might get the Beatles or something. Never mind. I don't want to get mixed up there. But But anyways, I did not realize that pomp and circumstance was something that King Edward VII, 1841 to 1910, was the British king who suggested music, the music of Edward Elgar, be set to words. And that's exactly what was done. And then in 1902, A.C. Benson put the music and the words together. And it was actually a song with words. I never knew that. I just thought Brother Hopkins or Mrs. Tierney or somebody just played Pomp and Circumstance. But it actually was a song with words. And here are some of the words that were repeated twice in the conclusion of the song. God, who made thee mighty, make thee mightier yet. Don't you like that? God, who made thee mighty, make thee mightier yet. Now, I think those kindergartners tonight, they were pretty good. And they weren't just kind of reading the scriptures. They were about preaching the scriptures. Did you notice that? And I mean, they weren't just saying 6 plus 0 is 6, 6 plus, you know, 6 plus 0 is 6, and, you know, 4 plus 2 is 6. I mean, they were getting with it, weren't they? 6 plus 0 is 6, and 4 plus 2 is 6. And they were kind of preaching out as they went. And they were doing it mighty. But the song, Pomp and Circumstance, says, God that made thee mighty, make thee mightier yet. How many of you would think it would be a great thing if God would take these kindergartners and make them a mighty tool in his hand? These 12th graders and a mighty tool in his hand, the college students, and all of us mightier in his hand. And so tonight, I want to just take a moment to help you realize that God's will is not that we hit certain places in our life and then, all right, that's it. I did my time. I'm going to go check in with the union of church. Churches have unions, don't they? And see if it's time to check out and retire here. It's my time for that. No, if you study the scriptures, you're going to find that they continue. You're going to find in the Bible people like Joshua and Caleb who in their 80s were saying, I want that mountain. I want to continue on for God. I was looking up at the choir tonight, and thank God for all the young people in the choir, but I saw some ladies and some men in their 60s, 70s, and a few in their 80s in the choir singing praise to God and continuing on for God. And they continued. John 8 and verse 31, Jesus said unto them, unto the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, the whole Christian life is a continuum. It's to be continued for the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to give you three quick areas where we need to continue on, where our children need to continue on, where the graduates need to continue on. First of all, we need to continue in the doctrine of the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, the doctrine was a set of beliefs, and I want you to understand tonight, Lancaster Baptist Church is an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church established on the doctrine of the Word of God, and we intend to continue on in the Word of God. We need to continue in the doctrine of salvation. John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And if you're here tonight and you've had church religion and you've had church membership, but you've never tasted of Christ's salvation, you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a doctrine called salvation. And that doctrine is something like this, that all men have sinned. It's called the depravity of man. And that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the sin of all mankind. That's called the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And that all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ can have a home in heaven for all of eternity. That's the doctrine of salvation. And while many have abandoned that doctrine, and while many have chosen broader and more ecumenical belief systems, we intend to continue in the doctrine of Jesus Christ concerning salvation. In John chapter 6 and verse 66, Jesus looked at some of the followers that had been following him, and he saw that many of them turned around and they had left him. And they were no longer following him. And he looked at them and he said, will you also go away? And you see, the parting point was the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. Some people don't want to have the doctrine of the deity of Jesus Christ. They don't want to have the nuts and bolts doctrine of the Bible. But my Bible says in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine of salvation. The doctrine of the apostles. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Paul said, Timothy, until I see you next time, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to exhortation, that's preaching. Give attendance to doctrine, study the Word of God. I was talking with Brother Smith the other day and just talking about the idea of pastoring and shifting roles into the senior pastor. And he said, you know, Pastor, I want to get some books on theology and Old Testament studies. And already I've been making a list and want to order and help in that area. And he's saying, I know I'm in my 40s and I know I've had Bible college and I know I've been on church staff, but I want to keep growing. I want to keep studying. And I'm going to tell you tonight, from this pastor to every man in this auditorium, every one of us need to say, I've got to grow more. I've got to know more. I want to know more of the Word of God. I want to search the Scriptures to see whether those things are so. And listen, we're not here tonight to quit. We're here tonight to continue. And may we, every one of us, say, by the grace of God in this next several months, I want to know more of my Savior, more of the Word of God, you see. The college freshman was giving her friend a tour of the college they were both attending, And she had been there before and on a visit day, and now she had registered, and her friend had come in just a little bit late, and they were looking at the different gymnasiums and cafeterias and all these different things, and finally they went by a room and it was the library, and this friend kind of whispered to the newcomer, and she said honestly, all they do in this room is study. I don't even know why they came to college. All those people do is study. You know, a lot of times people get it all mixed up. They think college is just to fool around. You know, a lot of people think church is just a place to hang out for the sake of the kids. Well, it's not just the kindergartners who need to memorize verses. Moms and dads, we need to continue in the Word of God. And the Bible says, and they continued. We've got to continue on in the doctrine. And I want to challenge all of us tonight, no matter what our age, to continue in the Word of God, to keep the preaching a priority in our lives, and to keep the reading of the Word of God a priority. So they continued in doctrine. Notice secondly, they continued with devotion. They continued with devotion. I want you to see this, if you would, in verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, continuing in discipleship is a continuing in love for God and in love for one another. And I believe tonight that a New Testament church is a church where there is love abounding. I walked into an office one time and I saw in this particular church office, it said, God loves you and I am trying. You ever have somebody like that? I've had people say to me, you know, I love them, I just don't like them. You ever have anybody? Don't raise your hand, all right? But you know what I'm talking about. But you know, the fact is that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love. And Jesus said that his disciples would be known by their love one for another. Now notice the devotion. First of all, they had devotion in fellowship. Notice it says in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. The word fellowship there is koinonia. It means partnership or joining together for a purpose. And God has intended all of us to be involved in fellowship. Now, when we think of fellowship, we think of maybe getting around and eating pizza. And we think of eating casseroles. We think of eating roast beef and gravy. We think of eating Korean food. We think of eating Chinese food. We think of In-N-Out Burger. When we think of fellowship, we just gain weight thinking of fellowship. Because somehow as Baptists, we think fellowship and food are two things that go together. And that's okay. I mean, I understand that, but just wait a minute now. Did you know that fellowship is more than eating food? It's more than just talking about things or hanging out together. Did you know that sometimes fellowship is when we serve the Lord together? Some of the best fellowship I've had has just been going out soul winning with men from our church, or praying on Saturday morning with men from our church, and just having fellowship together. Some of the closest friendships you'll ever have in ministry are working with the teenagers and working with the young people, and just going out on soul winning on a Tuesday night, having fellowship. Did you know that yesterday, as we had the single moms oil change, that several men of our church, I think 15 or 20 of our men, in a very organized way, had 55 single moms bring their car in, 55 single moms come on the parking lot, go to a special place, and all the oil and all the parts were pre-ordered according to their model number, and a professional free oil change was given to these moms who have some heavy burdens. But listen, on their way out, thank God, that those men in fellowship together for that oil change had a plan so that every lady that came through would be just asked the simple question, if you died today, do you know that heaven would be your home? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? And the great thing about yesterday was not just that some guys had some fellowship and changed some oil and hung out, but their fellowship had a purpose, and seven ladies prayed to receive Christ as their Savior yesterday. And that's the fellowship of the church. It's with a purpose. And they continued with devotion in fellowship. Romans 15 and verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see they continued with devotion in fellowship. Notice secondly, they had devotion as they broke bread together. The Bible says in verse 42 very clearly that they had the doctrine and they were continuing in the doctrine, and they had the fellowship, that it says, and in the breaking of bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? You see, this communion or this fellowship was something that they were enjoying together. They were enjoying as they gathered together a time of fellowship. But again, it was all around Jesus Christ. You see, the world gets together. They hang out. They eat food. They do stuff. But their stuff is not around the Lord Jesus Christ. And this fellowship was continuing around the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they had devotion in fellowship. And they had devotion in the breaking of bread. Thirdly, they had devotion in prayer. Now look at that again. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. You know, the early church eagerly anticipated prayer. It was spontaneous. It was wonderful. We've had some wonderful prayer meetings this year. And I love the Lord's table. Oh, I love the Lord's table. We'll have that in the upcoming weeks. We'll observe the Lord's table. We need to be prayed up and ready. But you know, prayer ought not to be neglected. Yesterday morning, a few hundred of our men gathered over in the gym, and we had a little brief time of Bible study and then questions and answers about a book we've been reading. But what a blessing to my heart as I had the privilege of praying with one of our men, and then I stepped out in the gymnasium and saw dozens and dozens of men praying and praying for their families, praying for their marriages, praying for their church, praying for their pastor. You could hear their prayers being uttered. And I'm telling you tonight that God is honored with the prayers of the local New Testament Baptist Church. And there is true love to be found when we spend time praying for one another. Prayer will make a man cease from sin, or sin will make a man cease from prayer. And many times men do not pray because it's awkward. They know they're not right with God. How do they pray to the God they've been scorning? How do they pray to the God that they've not really been honoring with their life? But I'm going to tell you, when you're right with God, prayer is real and prayer is sincere. Romans 12 and verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Many of you know that Harvard, as many of the Ivy League schools were established, Harvard was established for the purpose of teaching Christ and helping the church. That was in the founding documents of Harvard University. And in his bequest of the first large gift to what is now Harvard, John Harvard, in giving this gift, said these words, and I quote, "Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main ends of his life and studies, to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all knowledge and learning, and to see that the Lord only giveth wisdom. Let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to see Christ as Lord and Master." Now, the pot-smoking liberals at Harvard today need to go back and dig up the founding documents of that college and realize that the money that was given by John Harvard to establish that place now known as Harvard University was given by a man who said, hey, if you want to find wisdom, find Christ. If you want to find wisdom, find a secret place of prayer and ask God for wisdom, because the Bible says that if we'll seek God's face, that if we'll seek God's wisdom, that He'll give it to us. He promises to give us that wisdom. And I don't know about about you, but I cannot influence my family and could not have raised my children and cannot help my grandchildren and cannot be a godly pastor without devotion in prayer and seeking God's face in prayer. And I'm saying tonight that we must continue in the doctrine of the Word of God, and we must continue to love one another and to love prayer and to love the things of God and to love the Lord's table. And they continued on doing what God had called them to do. Continue in doctrine. Continue in devotion. Notice thirdly tonight, continue in dedication. God wants us to continue in dedication. Look at verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You know, you study these early moments in the church, they were pretty awesome. And there were signs and wonders. There were miracles being done by the apostles, and I believe that there was an apostolic presence and oversight during this transitional book of Acts. These signs were for the Jews who required a sign, and they had many times healings and many times folks who spoke in tongues with translation then given, interpretation. But the result of that in verse 43, look at the verse, and fear came upon them. There was an awe. There was a dedication through reverence and through the observation of these wonderful miracles. The early church was in awe at God and at all that God had done. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord, an awe for God. Hebrews 2 and verse 3, if you'll turn there very quickly as we look at this first point, dedication through reverence. Notice in Hebrews 2 and verse 3 what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? For which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. God said, I am going to give you revelation, I am going to show you miracles, so that by these signs and wonders, that you will see the wonderful power of Almighty God. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. What I'm just trying to say briefly tonight is that the church had a holy reverence for God. And church wasn't continuing on in a man-made fashion, let the show continue, but it was a focusing on the holiness, the power, and the reverence of God. They had a dedication that was based on that reverence. Then notice, secondly, they had a dedication in the way that they sacrificed to the Lord. Notice in verse number 44, and all that believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, this does not mean that God commands some type of communal existence, and this is not a mandate that we sell all that we have and so on and so forth. But what it shows us is the spirit of that church. They were so awed with God, they were so in love with the Lord and one another, that when someone had a need, they did everything they could to try to meet that need. And they were sensitive to the body. Sometimes the need is physical and someone needs a job and we can help hire them. Sometimes they need help with maybe as the single mom oil change, or someone else needs maybe some help to trim the weeds or put a swamp cooler, as our deacons have done recently for some of the widows in the church. Sometimes someone needs maybe just a word of encouragement, or maybe some of the men of the church, instead of saying to the teens, hey, you bunch of rabble-rousers, stop doing that or get over here, maybe say to some of the teens, hey, I'm glad to see you in church tonight. It's a blessing to see you and to show and to give the love of God. The Bible says in Acts 20 and verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I want you to just think about those words tonight, verse 42. And they continued. Let's say that together. And
they continued.
Sometimes they lost their jobs. Sometimes the Roman government persecuted them. Sometimes they had trials in their life. But they continued. And they continued. You read on down and you read through the book of Acts and you'll see them continuing and continuing. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. And they continued with hearts of devotion. And they continued with lives of dedication, giving, helping, loving, and encouraging. And they continued. Someday, I do not know what will be placed on your gravestone or mine. There are many things that could be said, but I pray that one thought about your life and mine would be, and he continued, and she continued, and such and so happened, but he continued, and he continued, and she continued, and they continued on in the apostles' doctrine and in love for God and in dedication and service one to another. And you notice as we close in verses 46 and 47, there was praise to God. There was honor and glory that was given to God because and they continued. And you notice that, if you would, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Hey, did it ever occur to you, God's not going to add to the church where people don't continue? Why would he add anyone to a church where they're not going to continue? Thank God this morning for souls that were saved and baptized. I believe those that led those people to Christ are glad they continued on and were faithful for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know what you may have recently accomplished. Maybe kindergarten, maybe 8th grade, maybe 12th grade, maybe college, maybe TDY, special training, maybe something of a class that you've had. Maybe you're marking some long distance time now that you've been serving the Lord. But listen tonight. For every one of us, we need to say with these little kindergartners, this is not the end, this is just the beginning. Ephesians 5 and verse 1, follow God as dear children. You know what I love about preaching to the elementary chapel? They just want to know what God says. They want to do it. I was walking with Camden in my backyard yesterday. He came to visit me last night, and we have a willow tree in our backyard. I said, that's a big tree, Camden. He said, yes, Papa, that's Zacchaeus' tree. And he's 2 years old, and he's already learning whose tree it is. And you know what? I want to see him continue and continue and continue to develop an understanding of Bible vocabulary. And may all of us this summer, many times in the summer and the Christmas season, I've seen Christians just miss a little here, miss a little there, miss some Bible reading, miss some church attendance. And by the end of the summer, you go, where's old John at? Where's old Sam at? And they didn't continue. And I want to challenge you this summer. And they continued. That's why we have this conference in a few weeks. The conference is not primarily for all the guests. We want them to receive the overflow. I've always felt primarily I'm the one that needs revival. I'm the one that needs preaching in the summertime. I'm the one that needs to continue on. And that preaching helps me to keep on keeping on. And all of us need to say tonight, Lord, help me to continue on until you call me home or until you come again. Let's stand together, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for a season of commencements. Not a season of endings, but a season of beginnings. We thank you tonight that your work is continuing in El Salvador because of our missionaries tonight, the charters who are here. We thank you tonight that your work is continuing in Asia and Europe and Africa because of those that labor there. But Father, we pray that your work would continue this summer at Lancaster Baptist Church and continue to help us to be faithful in the doctrines of your word and in the devotion of our heart and in the dedication of our lives. Help us to be that continuing church in the desert. When the wind really, really, really blows, help us to really, really continue. And when it's beautiful and calm, help us to continue. And in every season, may we be instant in season and out of season, Lord, continuing on to do what you've called us to do.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.